Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone who is joining us online. And we ask that there will be a release of the spirit of wisdom and the dynamic ministry of the Holy Spirit bringing us truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Now, I want to quickly close the series I've been sharing for a few weeks now. And you can go to our website, theharvestworld.org, or you can go to our Mixlr page, our Mixlr channel, and you can also get the other messages. But today I want to close this message that we've been preaching for a while. I believe maybe this will be the part 3 or possibly part 4. Prayer models that can change your life. Prayer models that can change your life. And I want you to please pick your notebook. I want you to pick your notebook, pick your pen, and then you write. Okay, you write. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to start by reading from Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He spoke a parable to them that men ought to pray and not to faint. Now, there's a parable, you know, starting from the second verse there, but I'm not going to go into that parable today. I want to look at another version of that scripture in the Berean Study Bible. The Berean Study Bible. It says, Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray at all times and not to lose heart. To lose heart means to give up. To lose heart means to faint. So, Jesus is saying to us, our Lord Jesus, that when a man fails in the capacity of prayer, when a man fails in his ministry as a prayer man, as a woman of prayer, one of the signs to look out for, one of the things to look out for, is the person's ability to give up. The person's ability to be faint at heart. You look at Peter, James, and John as they were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were not able to pray. Therefore, their hearts were heavy. Now, you go look at that scripture. Our Lord just said to them, can you not tarry with me for 1 hour? And they tried to pray. They could not. They were tired. They were sleeping. Just the way it happens to many of us when we try to pray. They try to pray. They try to, you know, connect with what God is saying. And these are things that happen to us naturally. These are things that happen to us naturally. You try to pray. You try to fast. You just notice that, look, this thing is not working out. And then, because the disciples could not pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, the natural response was for them to sleep. Every time you fail in your ministry of prayer and intercession, one of the physical signs to look out for, it can also be gauged spiritually, is that you lose the capacity to be strong. You begin to faint. You become spiritually weak. You begin to lose hope. You begin to give up. Hallelujah. So the word of God is very clear. These are things you can look at, you can measure yourself, and then you can assess exactly what is going on with you. The scripture also tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. Now if you're on Facebook, please kindly just go ahead and share this video. By the time I'm done tonight, we are going to upload a series of messages on YouTube. So And if you are on YouTube, just type my name, and then you can subscribe to that channel also. And to Seth, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, and to Seth also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now look at when Adam fell. Adam was a man who understood communion. He understood how to relate with God. But after Adam fell and they were kicked out of the garden, it was not until Enoch was born and received and also gave birth to a son that men discovered the technology of prayer. So prayer is popular now, but it wasn't always popular. Men didn't discover the technology of prayer, the ability to reach into the heavens and connect with God until a time when Enoch was born. So there are multiple mysteries. There are discoveries. There are things that we cannot find in God except God unveils them to us. That was why the Bible was not written in the Old Testament. The Word of God was not written in Malachi. God waited for the books to be completed before he collated everything and put in our hands. So the prayer was not always there. It was a discovery that was made by through the ability of the Spirit of God breathing upon man. The scripture says that it was after Enosh was born that men began to pray. That was when they discovered the technology of prayer. Praise God. So I am putting this to you because some people might be praying. There are people that could be praying every day, or they just say nice words. For instance, you go for a function, you see somebody and they say, oh, it is well with you. They just say, God bless you. Those are just well wishes, you know, like when you are doing your birthday and people, happy new year, happy birthday, greater you. Those are wishes. For your wishes to become prayer, you must have learned how to travel in the place of prayer with clear evidence of result. For you to call yourself a man of prayer or a woman of prayer, you must have prayed to the extent that you can point to 1, 2, 3, you know, things that you put before the Lord and he responded personally back to you. So most of all those things you see, that we call prayer, they are just wishes. They don't. For it to be prayer, it must be backed by the force of heaven. Hallelujah. That's why we have very few prayer men. Everybody wants to be a pastor, but not everybody wants to be in the ministry of intercession. Not everybody wants to be in the ministry of prayer. Preaching is easy. Prayer is not easy. Now, I want you to write this. I've given this before, but let me just give it to you, and probably I might add one more. There are certain principles that guide prayer. There are certain principles that guide prayer. Number one, response to prayer is guided by alignment to God's will. Getting answers to your prayers is always guided by your alignment to God's will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So please, when you come in, try to mute yourself. So what I mean by that is, every time that you are asking God for something. For instance, if God says to you, Bumi is not your wife. If you start praying and you are asking God to change his mind, that prayer is contravening the divine principle of alignment. When God is very clear about something, then you must take a position beside God's word. If God says, stay in Nigeria, and then you do everything to get into Canada, And then you are praying and fasting and asking God to, you know, bless the whole thing and all of that. Please understand that one of the first principles of prayer is that getting an answer to your prayers is directly proportional to the level of your alignment to God's will. So don't pray in disobedience and then ask God to bless it. God does not, you cannot force the hand of God. These things I share with you are important because if you understand them and you practice them, it will reduce your stress. It is not enough. We are in a generation now where people know a lot of things. But whether we are practicing them or not is entirely another thing. So that's the first thing. Number two, there is a principle of travail in prayer. There is a principle of travailing in prayer. Number two, there is a principle of traveling in prayer. What that means is this. There are certain things you may be asking of the Lord, and God may be saying yes to those things. But you will not get the answer directly because of other conditions or factors that may be related. For instance, Daniel was seeking the face of God, and he was praying for 21 days, and the angel said that that his prayers were already answered. But the angel didn't show up until the 21st day. And when he came, the first thing he did was to inform Brother Daniel that from the first time you prayed, God has already given a command that we should come give you your answer. But for some reason, it was intercepted by the Prince of Persia. Now, I would think that simply because God had sent that angel, that scripture should be Daniel chapter 10. Maybe you just read from verse 1. Okay. Let me see if I can get that up. I'm not too sure if I'll be able to read it. Okay. Now, that's Daniel chapter 10. Now, I want you to know that there were a few things that took Daniel to prayer here. From Daniel chapter 9, he had begun to seek the face of the Lord concerning the deliverance of Israel. And when he was seeking the face of God, and God sent an angel, he met with some resistance. Why? Because the issue of the Israelites being in Babylon was as a result of rebellion. So that principality was laying a direct claim to this nation that was in captivity because of rebellion. So even though the Lord had sent an angel, there was a resistance, legitimate resistance from the enemy. Sometimes, you know, as pastors, we pray for people, you know, but sometimes we notice that it's the same prayer you pray for this person, you pray the same prayer for another person, the result is different. So you are looking at the aspect of prevailing. So that kind of favor or release of mercy is only possible when you stay in the place of prayer. Number one, God has said they should be released, but the enemy is holding to a legitimate cause because these people are under his jurisdiction. For instance, if you live in a particular area where there are prostitutes, or there's a lot of clubs in those areas, the prince in that locality will not be an angel. It will be a spirit of immorality, drunkenness, and waste. So you might notice that the way you pray and the kind of battles you are fighting there, they are different from somebody who is living with my father and the Lord, Pastor E. Adeboye. There's probably not going to be any demon in this area. Location can affect destiny. Location can even sometimes affect the the answers to your prayers. Daniel was a very spiritual man, but he met with resistance when he began to intercede for the people of Israel. The only way he was able to break through was by continuing in prayer. By prevailing in prayer, he encountered a breakthrough. But this is another matter. I might still have to come back and address it some more. Number three, prayer is not what we rush into. This is the third principle I'm giving you now. Prayer is not what we rush into. We must determine how we should approach a matter that we have at hand in order to get the result we are looking for. Prayer is not what we rush into. We must determine how we should approach the matter at hand in order to get the result we are trusting God for. So sometimes before you go into prayer, you need to check yourself. You need to look at the matter. Are you in the will of God? Are you asking God to bless something that he's not interested in? Are you supposed to be there at this point in time? There are so many factors you have to consider before you go into the place of prayer, so that you are not asking God to bless disobedience. Number four, prayer requires a heart connection by faith. Prayer requires a heart connection by faith. And not just, muttering of words, speaking in tongues, screaming. Those things are good. As intercessors, there are things we should do. We pray, we scream, we shout, we mutter words. But the strength of prayer is the faith connection. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The connection of faith. So those are things you run a check on. Is there an allocation of faith for this particular thing you are praying about? I remember when I was in a school, some early this year, a few months ago, and I saw a lady who could not walk, very well. One leg was not very good, and she was practically limping, so she was like almost deformed in that leg. But I noticed as she came towards me and was approaching me, that there was a release of faith for her to be healed. That prayer did not take 3 minutes. And she started walking, to the glory of God. She started using that leg immediately. But she had had the problem for 7 years, and the doctors could not fix it. So there must be an allocation of faith. Don't just go into prayer and you are trying to be smart. Try to determine if there is an allocation of faith from heaven concerning this thing you are praying for. That's how to get result. Try to find out first, this thing that you want to pray about, do you have faith in your heart? Has the Holy Spirit giving you the grace to believe for that thing? Those are one of the checks you can run. Number five, the fifth principle here, praying connects us to the realm of God. So we must enter into that space with honor in our hearts. Praise God. Faith connects us to the realm of God. The scripture says that that it was in the time of Enoch that men began to discover the art of prayer. That men began to discover the art of prayer. So you need to understand that faith, that prayer is a direct connection to the realm of God. That means when you close your eyes, you're in your room, you're on the road, you're going to walk, and Lipron Dakar no Farinetos, yeah. You are on an encrypted line to heaven. The moment you believe that, there is no devil that can stop that prayer again. There are some of us that pray, and somewhere in our heart, we are praying, but we are not too sure of that connection. We are not too sure of, is God hearing me or not? Some people do not even think they have prayed until they see the answer. But God is saying here that, look, he that cometh to me must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So that's what we are talking about here. That faith must be present. That allocation of faith must be present. That every time I lift up my voice and I begin to call upon the name of the Lord, I have a direct connection to heaven that cannot be stopped by even Satan. You are extremely that powerful. Praise God. This is one of the benefits of the finished work of Christ. You are extremely that powerful. Elijah knew the power of prayer. The scripture said that Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. And then he called upon the name of the Lord again, and God sent rain. That is the power of one man that was not born again. Elijah was not born again. And he called upon the name of the Lord. You see, when the devil tries to rob you of this kind of revelation, this kind of knowledge, ultimately the devil is robbing you of your advantage over him. The devil is robbing you of your advantage in the place of prayer. Praise God. So everybody should be praying. We should be praying at night. We should be praying in the day. When watching TV, speak in tongues. When watching Netflix, speak in tongues. When you are on the road, speak in tongues. Praise God. Everywhere you are, mandrakatobia, learn how to pray aloud. Learn how to pray it in your mind. Learn how to pray and meditate in the word of God. Learn how to talk to God. All the scriptures say, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. So prayer connects you to the realm of God, but we must enter into that space with honor. Don't come in with any baggage. Don't come in feeling like somebody. You know, come in with honor. That's why the scripture says when we come before him, we come with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So praising God is one of the first elements of prayer. Everybody should be praying. Everybody. Don't be afraid when you can't preach. But when you lose your ability to pray, you should be concerned. Don't be afraid when you can't sing. But when you notice you want to pray and then you suddenly get sleepy, you should be concerned. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you can listen to a message for 3 hours. But when you can't pray for 30 minutes, it should give you concern. What number is that now? Number 6, I believe. Praise must precede our request. Now, these are principles and you really need to just try them out. Praise must. So don't just come into, even when you pray in tongues and you start a prayer, do it with the element of praise and gratitude in your spirit. Hallelujah. Number 7, I believe, the proof of productive praying is the release of revelation or divine guidance. So when somebody said, I have prayed, I fasted, I prayed. The evidence that you have prayed is that you receive revelation. God will reveal something to you. God will give you a kind of guidance. God will speak to your heart. God will order your step. God will send somebody to speak to you. God will do something that announces the result to your prayer. Okay? I remember some time ago, many years ago, in fact, many, many years ago, I'm talking about something like maybe over 16 years ago, and I met somebody who was trying to get married or get into a relationship, but the person, this brother, was concerned if this particular lady was the will of God. So he was chatting with me like, I hope I'm not making a mistake. But you know, like I said, there are many ways to kill a rat. So I told him, I gave him a prayer point. I said, go to God for the next 1 or 2 weeks. For the next 1 week, this is the only prayer I want you to pray. Father, I value my relationship with you. I believe you've brought this person into my life. But if this person is not the will of God, Father, scatter this relationship. Thus, like a childish prayer. But personally, I've stopped giving that prayer point to people. Because most people I gave it to, the relationship ended up scattering. So I want people to enjoy themselves. So except you ask me, I'm not going to give you that prayer point. Or you need to watch this video. So the proof of productive praying is revelation. When God gives you a witness in your spirit or gives you a leading. The scripture says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, if God is telling me, that place you want to travel, don't travel. Or he tells me, don't travel tomorrow. You know, you prayed, God, I want to travel. And then it just like, you begin to feel funny, like maybe you should not travel again. Don't go about saying, God has spoken to you. Sometimes God will tell you, don't go out. Then later you hear something happened on that road you are supposed to travel in. So you master this thing. Nobody hears God overnight. You learn, you know, on the journey. Number eight is that no matter who you are, you will learn the art of praying. Nobody is a master prayer person. Nobody knows how to pray automatically. We all learn the art of praying. So when you go to your friend's house and you see them praying and shouting hallelujah and doing all kind of things, don't be mesmerized. Don't let anybody bully you. Everybody learns how to pray. And you can start from your level. If you don't know how to pray for 30 minutes, you can start with 10 minutes and put a timer there and begin to pray. So everybody can learn. From there, you get 15 minutes, you get to 20 minutes. The first time I prayed for 2 hours, I think that was in the year, maybe 2003. I was so excited. It's like I won the jackpot. But you know, after the prayer, it's like something you've never done before. I slept for the whole day. So it's a serious matter. I slept for the whole day. So start from where you are. You can start from 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but you must have an intention to grow your prayer life. So those are the seven principles. Then, of course, when I started sharing this series with us, I talked about the prayers to pull down strong goals. I talked about the prayers of gratitude and praise. I talked about how to deal with spiritual resistance in the place of prayer. I also talked about the prayers of agreement and unity. So today, I want to talk about the prayer of intercession. Prayer of intercession. So there's a long read here. Luke 22, verse 31 downwards. Luke 22, verse 31 to verse 31 to... Okay, it's just verse 31 to 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. You know, some of this scripture is like I love this scripture. I mean, there was a time I was teaching on the courts of heaven, and I use this scripture a lot. So you can go to the website and download those messages on the courts of heaven. I think there are about 5 or 6 or so. It says, Simon, Simon, how did Jesus know that Satan had planned against Peter? Our Lord Jesus was a prayer man. Our brother Peter was not a prayer man. There are conversations that happen in the spirit man, in the spirit realm at night. There are conversations that happen in the spirit realm, just like the kind that happened with Job. And you know, they make decisions there. So our Lord Jesus knew of a conversation. Say, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired that you will not get married again. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to destroy your business. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to destroy your ministry. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to cut your life short. He said he wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to shake you and see if there is any substance in you. Satan wants to see the way this guy is even talking, the way this lady is even talking. Let's even see whether, let's check her stuff. Let's see whether she's very strong spiritually. Let us try him. Maybe we'll still be following God. If you are 34, 35 years and you are not married, let us see if you will still follow God. If you are married for 5 years, you don't have a child, let us sift her, let us test her and see whether she will still be following God. Simon, he said, Satan has desired to have you. He said that you may, that he may sift you like wheat. What did Jesus say? He said, but I have prayed for you. In other words, without the prayers of Jesus Christ, that young man would never have made it. The prayer of intercession is very important in the life of a believer. The prayer of intercession is where God, you know, gives you the grace to begin to pray for your brothers in Christ, to pray for your sisters, to pray for your city, to pray for your nation. And I got to say this about Nigeria. If you really don't, if you can hear me now, if you really don't have anything to say, it actually helps to just, you know, be silent. There are many of us that will not say a word of prayer for Nigeria, but we spend all our time analyzing the problem of the country. And for us, we are being sincere, but God categorizes those statements as intercession. I hope somebody is hearing me now. So if the issue of intercession is very, very important, it cuts across every area. There was a time in the life of Abraham, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Look, I'm going to destroy Sodom." It was the intercession of Abraham that saved his boy Lot and his children. Intercession is powerful. I have had situations where some of my mentors, my spiritual fathers, had called me and they said, "Oh, this is what the Lord showed us is going on. We have already prayed about it." Ah, and I say, "Thank you." Sometimes God will allow that thing that you saw or that they saw concerning you. You will see a little of the manifestation of that thing for you to know that what they saw was true and that it has been dealt with. Look at the fact that Jesus prayed for Peter, but Peter still went through the trial. Peter still had the opportunity and he denied Jesus 3 times. So what was Jesus talking about? I thought if Jesus said he has prayed for him, then he doesn't need to go through that challenge again. But God allowed him to feel the heat so that he will know that that thing we are talking about is real. So some of you, When you need to start believing God. When God tells you, "I have solved your problem, I have answered your prayer, you are getting married, or I've given you a job," God will now allow the enemy to test you to see maybe you believe the things you are even talking about, or maybe you are just a lover at mouth. Your love doesn't get to the heart. God said, Jesus said, "I've prayed for you, Peter," but Peter still went through the temptation, and he failed. Peter failed. That's what I want you to know. So it means that the kind of prayer, because what if I was Peter, I would have asked, "Sir, what kind of prayer did you pray for me?" Because anything you say normally comes to pass. So it means that from what happened, the prayers of Jesus was not to stop the temptation. The prayer of Jesus was for restoration after Peter had fallen. I don't know if anybody is hearing me now. Because some people think that because God says something, that means that nothing bad will happen. The prayer was for his restoration. And look at what our Lord said. He said, "After you are converted, after you are restored, after you find your feet back, restore your brethren." That means God knew that if a Peter backslide, the other 11 disciples will go away. So God said that, "Look, the impact of your decision to deny me and to go back to your business and be selling fish, it will affect everybody. It will affect my labor of 3.5 years. But I will restore you. And when I restore you, you will go and restore your brethren." So Jesus did not pray for the other disciples. He prayed for Peter. The scripture says, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. As long as the shepherd is standing, the church is intact." The prayer of intercession is very good. It can save the life of somebody. Somebody can be somewhere in Kotangura, can be in the U.S., can be in Canada, and God is showing you something in your own location. And you pray about it, and it is done. Sometimes you may not even need to tell the person, Because you've prayed about it. These are very important aspects of prayer. The thing about the prayer of intercession is that you can't go into it if you are selfish. A selfish person cannot pray for other people. A selfish person cannot pray for his nation. There are some people now, all they are waiting for is for Biafra to go, to break, so that they can go and become a governor in their village. There are some people now, they are waiting for Oduduwa Republic to break, so that they can go and become a chairman in their council. Let me tell you ahead, if Nigeria breaks up, it will not solve any problem. The same people in your village that have been colonizing you are the ones that will still colonize you in your new country and put their children there. So, you better think about it very well. Don't expect things to be good. It's the same set of people. My personal opinion, pray for another Nigerian Jerry Rawlings to come and solve your problem. The prayer of intercession. There was a time in this country that everybody was pushed to the wall. And then we began to call upon the name of the Lord in the life of one of our military head of state. And one day, all of a sudden, they told us the man died. He slumped and died. And that was what, brought democracy back to Nigeria. When the church rose up to pray, God rose up to answer. Every time you rise up to pray, whether you are praying for your child, whether you are praying for your husband, whether you are praying for your business, whatever it is you are praying, your ministry, every time a man will rise up to pray, God will rise up to answer. This is very, very important. We also have one prayer here, and maybe I'll just take this and I will rest the case. I'm going to be uploading this. This message is live on Facebook right now, so you can go to my Facebook page and share this video or download it, or go to my YouTube page, Benga Shafe, and also watch this video again. You are going to need it. That's the honest truth. I mean, I have to go back and listen to it myself. You don't really get everything just once. There's one dangerous prayer that I want to talk to you about. And please, you need to hear me with sanctified ears now. I've talked about the prayer of intercession. Now I want to talk to you about the prayer backed up with sacrifice. Prayers backed up by sacrifice. Prayers backed up by sacrifice. Now, this is the last one I'm going to share with you. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. 17 to 19. Genesis 17:17-19. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed before him." Praise God. Look at verse 23. Now, after God had finished speaking to Abraham, look at verse 23. Abraham then took Ishmael and all that were born in his house, and all that he had bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said to him. Now, let me read one other scripture, if I may. Genesis 18. This story, okay, I may not be able to read this, but this Genesis 18 was when the Lord appeared to him and in the form of three men, and Abraham was able to offer some, he received them, entertained them, and it was after then that they blessed him. Now, let me just quickly run you through this quickly. Abraham was in a meeting with God, and God said, "Look, I'm going to give you a son." And Abraham laughed. He laughed in his heart. He didn't laugh outside. Listen to me. There are things we do in our mind that God considers valid spiritual transactions. You know, it's just like as I'm preaching now. As you are hearing me now. Somebody may be saying, praise God. Preach it, sir. Preach it, pastor. But in your mind, you are saying, is it today we have been praying? So, God heard that thing in the heart. You have to be very careful the conversations you allow in your heart. Because everything is talking to God. Everything is talking to God. So you can't say, oh, Father, I thank you because I'm going to be married by this year end. Then you get to your friend's house and you say, oh, I don't know, sir. Where are the men? There are no men in the country. There are no men in the church. There are no men, you know, in the... Meanwhile, people in the church are getting married, though. There are no men in the church. There are no men in the church. The man you are looking for, the man that you always see in your dream, is a product of 10 years' work. The man you are looking for may not be like the man you want, but after 10 years of being married to you, you would have changed him. You would have, both of you would have improved on each other, and then it looks like also many people are asking for the wrong thing. You are asking for a harvest. Meanwhile, God wants to give you a seed. So Abraham was with the Lord, and then God, after the instruction, God told him to circumcise. The circumcision is a kind of sacrifice, it's a kind of ritual that you go into, like kind of some kind of consecration. But now God said to him, I will give you a son. God didn't tell him that before the son comes, there will be a test. The first test was the test of patience. Is this guy willing to wait for what we have promised? Or is he in a hurry to get what we want to give him? Okay, that's the first test. The second test is that God didn't tell him that he will test his generosity. So when those three men, when he appeared as three men and he came to Abraham, they just walked past his house. If Abraham that day had not welcomed God, who looked like three men, into his house that day, what would have happened is that he would have lost that prophecy. The Lord did not bless him. The Lord did not put, he carried a prophecy for more than 25 years. But it was until he gave sacrificially, when he received the Lord and his angels into his house and washed their feet, the food that they ate that day was prepared by Abraham and his wife, not by the servants. And then Abraham stood while God sat and ate as a mark of respect and honor. It was then that the Lord said, by this time next year, this guy had been praying for 25 years. This guy has been saying, Father, this is what you said to me. This is what you said to me. Father, I believe your word. I believe I will have a child. I believe your word will come to pass in my life. It was until he received God and gave sacrificial giving, prayers with sacrifice, sacrificial giving, that God now put a timeline to the answer of his prayers. And God said, by this time next year, your wife Sarah will carry her son. And it didn't matter that day if anybody doubted again. That day, God sealed that blessing. Now, there has been a lot of abuse in this aspect. But it doesn't take away the validity of this spiritual transaction. And it is not something you would do every day. But when you are dealing with very severe conditions many times, you may need to give to offer up prayers to the Lord backed up with sacrificial givings. You are not trying to buy God. It is the way the spirit realm works. The reason why God could not offer is just anybody as a sacrifice for redemption of man is because the value of a sacrifice will determine what that sacrifice can deliver in terms of result. So if God wanted the old world to be saved, he needed to give his very best. And his very best was his son Jesus. That is why, whether you like it or not, Christians, people will be born again in Iraq. Whether you like it or not, there are many Japanese that will follow God. Many people in China will follow Jesus. Many people in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in Iraq, they will follow Jesus. Because the blood has been shed. That is the most expensive item in the realm of the spirit today. There are certain things that may not answer to prayers. But prayers, prophecy with sacrificial giving, we deliver. This is not to be misunderstood. We speak wisdom among the matured. But is it possible that like Abraham, you have also received a prophecy and that prophecy has taken some years. Why not ask the Lord? Maybe you have missed a step. The Lord did not tell Abraham to give a sacrificial gift. The Lord did not ask him. It was Abraham that borrowed himself sense and decided to take a step, and that step became the turning point in his life. So what are we talking about here? In 2 Samuel chapter 25, verse 24. 2 Samuel 24, 24. David said, I will not give God anything that does not cost me something. I will not give an offering to God. I will not be earning 100,000, then I give 100 naira as offering. That's what David is saying here. He's saying that I will not, give, the way this thing works, if you look at the scriptures holistically, you will now realize that one truth rests on another, and another truth rests on another. So you cannot just violate one without affecting the other. David said, I will not give to the Lord anything that does not cost me something. It is still speaking about this issue of sacrificial giving. The scripture also said, it is those that sow in tears that shall return with joy. There are certain things that do not answer to just ordinary praying. The situation of the matter may require you to do something very powerful and sacrificial, even in your moment of need. This, again, is one of the reasons why many people have not gotten some kind of strange answers to their prayers. Listen to me, these are prayer models that can change your life. Nobody will tell you, go and do it. You are the one that will look at this matter and say, okay, maybe this is, we need to combine two or three methods or models of prayer to attack this issue. You could have some people interceding, you could have some people praying prayer of agreement, and you have some other set of people, and then you could even be praying backed up with sacrifice. The key here is tenacity. The key here is passion. The key here is understanding. Your understanding of this spiritual truth, and I please, is what guarantees the kind of results you see. The Bible is very open, it's clear. All you have to do is just pick it and read. Just read it. It's there. It's there. Praise God. It's there. So let us not be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, the scripture says, but let us be doers of the word. It is the doers of the word that shall be blessed. The scripture says that the double-minded man should not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, especially if you live in a country like Nigeria, where we always need to depend on God for so many things. My brother, you must master how the spirit realm works. And these are the things I'm giving to you. Hallelujah. The Lord will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord will give you understanding. He will teach you what you need to do. Some of you have obeyed in certain respects before the Lord, but now you need to go back and listen to the whole series of these messages. Go to the website, go to Mixella, or even go to my Facebook page or YouTube and listen to all those messages. Put them together. Don't waste your time trying to check comedy skits. Take this one, buy data, 5 gig, listen to it, so that you're profiting. You know, Paul was saying to his spiritual son, Timothy, he said, pay attention to these things, so that your profiting may appear to all. I look forward to a time where we will all become professors of prayer. We will become men of spiritual capacity, because we have learned the art of prayer, we have begun to prosper in it, and then we can help others prosper in it. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that, Lord, you will take your word through the airwaves. You will cause it to change lives. You will give us wisdom and understanding in the ways of the Spirit. And you will help our profiting to appear to all, that as many as will listen to this word, as many that will later listen to it, you will cause your word to be like fresh fire. And that it will change the lives of people, bringing radical and strange testimonies. And on this trend, we are all here connected in the name of Jesus. And I declare right now the sound of the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That every sickness will vanish, every pain will go, every disease will disappear. And every challenge in your life now will receive the touch of God. And I declare right now, as many of you are going through challenges, I speak peace into your life. I declare the Son of God is in your boat. And I declare the storm is still. The storm is still. Peace be still. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.